What are you searching for personally in your life? Is there something you are still searching for? I want to tell you, not arrogantly, and not because I'm perfect, because I'm far from it, but I've found it. I've found what I'm searching for. It's with me all the time. It's Jesus, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not because I understand the Bible more than anyone else, but I've found that by reaching out to God wherever you are, He is there. My title today, now we've got this PowerPoint display. I didn't put it in for choice, so give 2 seconds if you can put it in there. It's on the screen. I'll come back in a minute. A lot of our people are away today, so I'll do it. Sorry. Yeah. That's it. So if you can like that, it should work. How do you do it? Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. My title today is Choose This Day Whom You Will Serve. Chowe is doing a great job at the back, but when he does it, PowerPoints aren't normally things that he does, but that's brilliant. I want to read from Joshua 24, 13 to 18. It's 13, 13. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You can eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it's the Lord our God who brought us out of the fathers, as in our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way that we went among all the peoples whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So basically what happened is there is a man called Joshua who is now leading God's people. The reason he is leading God's people and Moses no longer is because on a particular crucial point, he didn't trust God, and God said, you're not going into the promised land. So Joshua is leading God's people, and he took him into the promised land, and they had a few things happened in there. The main thing was that they knocked down the walls of Jericho without physically touching them, but just by obeying God. And God says to you today, if you've got walls in front of you, look for God's solution, not your solution. But then, obviously, we come to this point here whereby, towards the end of the book of Joshua, he gets everyone together and said, you have seen certain things happen in your life. Choose this day whom you'll serve. You know, because obviously Joshua, of course, and Caleb were part of the 10 spies back in the book of Numbers when they're right in the middle of the desert on the way there. And Moses says, go and look at the land. And 10 came back and said, we can't do it. And 2 says, yes, we can do it. We can do this. And you know, and the devil says to us all the time, no, you can't. But if we trust God and say, you know, if we trust God and look for his solution, we can do it. So this is a man of faith who's now come to the end and said to yourself, choose this day whom you'll serve, not who your parents will serve, not who your church is serving, because they should be serving God, but whom you will serve. Joshua 1, 6 to 9, back at the beginning of the book of Joshua, said, be strong and courageous, for you will cause this people to inherit land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being very careful to according to do all that the law of Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or left, that you may have good success wherever you go. I'm talking here about leaving an impression. What impression are you personally going to leave in this life? What impression, when people look back at you, will you leave? The impression that an awful lot of rainfall has, or hopefully is not about to leave at this village in North Derbyshire, is an impression of carnage. And we just hope and pray that God does something. But if you're moving through life like that water, what impression are you leading? On the church I joined many, many years ago as a 19, 20-year-old, somebody came up to me and said, can I speak into your life? And he's one of the leaders. And I said, yeah, because it was somebody I respected. And he said, you have a reputation for gossip. That's what he said to me. And he says, you can get angry with me now and walk away, or you can change and make sure that this goes away, and that in a few years' time, when people hear your name, they'll know that you have a good reputation. I'm thinking, wow, I felt completely crushed, but I knew the guy loved me, and I respected him. And God was able to do something. And I thought, I want to get to the end of my life and leave a good impression. But the impression I want to leave is to simply say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. So my choice is, God says to me, choose this day whom you'll serve. So if I'm the only person in this world, if I am the only person in this world who believes in the gospel, who believes in heaven and hell, who believes in biblical marriage, who believes in loving people, who believes in what the Bible stands for, then my choice is that this is who I'm choosing for. And I pray that the rest of my family will as well, and they do it. My daughter's not accepted Christ yet, but of course we believe in that she will do. But my choice for me and my house is that I will serve the Lord. And what I would say to you is to see, basically, almost look at your life again. I've got five steps in a minute that I'll put up there and show you what those steps are. Pastor was speaking in a church many, many years ago, and he noticed that halfway through the sermon, a man walked out. However, at the very end of the sermon, he noticed that the same man walked back in. The pastor asked him, "Where did you go?" The man replied, "I went to have my hair cut." The pastor said, "Why didn't you go at the beginning of the sermon?" He said, "I didn't need one then." Five steps. Is this working? It's not working. Right, it's not working for some reason. Don't worry. Can you move it on, Choi? We'll get that. Can we move it on for the next one? We'll get there. Right, 2 seconds. We could ring Paul while he's in Swaziland, but we won't do. Go. Please. Try and move it on. Well, I'll let Chowei try to work that out. But there's five stages. Actually, that's it. Next one. Whatever you did there. Brilliant. So the first one, the five decisions that we need to make in our Christian life, of the five stages, that we need to go through, the first one is decision. Joshua made a decision. And he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in this thing, they said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in the New Testament, this is how it applies to us. Every person who lives on this earth needs to make a decision. Either the decision is, I don't want anything to do with Christianity, or I'm going to jump into my relationship with God 1,000,000%. But please don't be anywhere in between. It's boring. If you grab hold of something, if you grab hold of Christianity, then make sure you grab hold of it properly. John 3:3, in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Romans 12:2, "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." That decision that every person needs to make is, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." You know, I'm going to Soul Survivor with the team from this church in 2 weeks' time, and you know, it's amazing worship and amazing teaching and everything else. But our reflection always is at the end. Look, these events don't exist all the time, and there isn't a church in the world that is like this. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but so you'll go back to your church where there's 5 people there, 20 people or whatever, but make a difference and make a decision. As for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. You might say, "Well, I made that decision in 1964, brilliant, you know, that's fine," or 1978 or whenever. But what do you make that decision again today? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we live in a generation whereby there's almost no absolutes, and young people and every one of us needs to make a decision. I am still serving the Lord in this context today. I'll still serve the Lord tomorrow. I'll get up on Monday and serve the Lord. You know what I'll do today? I'll go into my back garden at 10 o'clock tonight. I'll sit there on my own with a cup of tea and just reflect on the day, give it to God and get peace. God's got it then. This thing I'm worried about at church, that thing, I'll give it to God, 10 o'clock, it's all gone. And tomorrow, he's got new stuff. I've got no idea. But whatever it is, it's good. You know, we could come here next week and there'll be 5,000 in the church, or there could be one, or what. It's in his hands. He's called me to serve him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in terms of a decision, it's a decision that every person needs to make. In my brain, I am going to follow God's laws. No matter what happens, no matter if we stay in Europe for another 50 years or we come out when Boris says we're going to come out, no matter what happens, I will serve the Lord. I will be an example near those who are with me. Next one, shall we? Thank you. Declaration. That when we've decided that, we tell everybody and we say, listen, okay, I've decided in here that come what may, I'm going to serve Jesus. But now I need to let people know. In verse 18 of the Joshua text, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord our God, for he is our God. They made a decision that they would tell people. Mark 8:38 applies to us in the New Testament. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in the adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. If we believe in the gospel, if we're following Jesus, it's letting people know as God leads us in the right way at the right time. When I grew up, I didn't have anything that I could absolutely put my anchor into that was solid. There was nothing. There was nothing. There was punk rock in the 1970s. There was communism I thought was brilliant for a while, and there's something else and something else. But when someone told me about Jesus, I thought, this is it. And I was in the staff room at my work where I worked, and previously sitting in there, looking at things before I became a Christian, looking at things on page 3 in the Sun and joking and going out and doing things I shouldn't do. And then I became a Christian and came back and sat in that staff room, and I knew that at some point I had to tell them that I had now made a decision and I was declaring it. And I worded it wrong, and I said to somebody, I belong to the Lord. And somebody said, does he pay you? And everyone laughed. But that broke the ice a little bit. And I said to them, okay, you know, I no longer got invited to the parties in quite the same way. I was no longer part of the jokes. I did not fit in, and I still don't totally fit in. But I made a decision that I was going to declare it to the whole world. Joshua declared it. He told the Israelites to declare it. That in our life, if we haven't got anything we can put an anchor into and we can make an impression, then there is nothing else. I stopped trying to be cool years ago. I still haven't achieved it, and I never, ever will do. Declaration. What's the third one, Joey? Devotion. Another stage in our life with God is devotion. That when we have made a decision to follow Jesus, to follow the gospel, when we have let people know, we then, as is also delineated in this story, we live a life where we are devoted to God, devoted to Jesus. Then the people, verse 16, answer, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That we live this life and think, well, whatever happens, whatever ministry I am or not given in church, whatever happens in my job, whatever happens in my family, whatever God decides to do with that thing I'm praying for, Lord, I'm devoted to you. I am yours. When you look at me, you'll see me smiling back at you. You will see me smiling back at you. And Lord, if ever you ever want one person in this world to worship you, that is me, Lord. Do what you want with me. Iron out all the things you want to iron out. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, Matthew 6:33. Let your kingdom come. See, I heard this saying somewhere recently whereby it said, don't follow the path that is already there. Go for a place where God sends you, where there is no path, and carve out a track in the wilderness. Carve out God's track. Yesterday, something bizarre happened that I'm still getting over. I've got to tell you this. I still haven't got a clue what happened. In the afternoon, we had to go into Southampton to get something, and we were walking through West Quay. I don't very often go down on a Saturday. And you're going to love this, because this is real hope for the world. A group of young people walked towards us. It was on somewhere in the West Key Shopping Centre. I would say, when I say young, probably the youngest one might have been 15, 16, the oldest one maybe early 20s. And a few girls there. And they were looking far off. They were dressed very, very trendily and really sort of, you know, with it, teenager clothes. Walking towards, they looked very normal. And this girl had something written on the top and written down here. I thought, I wonder what this is. Guess what it said? God is my Father. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Written all over her. Now, I thought they're American, because if you've been to America, you see, no, I think if, in America, you see that in shopping centres, they're a lot more open to the, you know, in certain places. But they weren't, it was English accent. I thought, my gosh, what's this? What church is it? But there's another guy as well had something written about the gospel in John 3:16. I thought, wow, that's refreshing. And some people were looking at them, but they were just acting normal. Not in a horrible way, but normal. And I thought, yes, make an impression. Say, as for me and my house. As for me and my house, when I wave a rainbow, there's going to be 7 colours in it. I'm not going to take 1 colour out and make it mean something else. As for me and my house, this is what I am going to do. Put me in prison, love me, hate me, get rid of me, but this is what I'm going to do. What about you? Really refreshing to see these young people. The next one, shall we, please? Duration. It's easy to follow God sometimes, but it's great to see people who are still following God and making this decision at the end of their life. We have some people in here who are just a little bit older than me, not at the end of their life, but who are still following God. The duration is important. Verse 17, for it is God, the Lord our God, who brought us and our fathers from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in the way that we went and among all the peoples whom we passed. You have this long testimony of walking with God through absolutely everything. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Duration. The duration is really, really important. Whereby it is now 2019. And if the Lord does not tarry and does not come back in the next 20 or 30 years, my desire is that everyone in this room who will genetically still be alive then, that you're still following Jesus passionately, wherever you are, you're still doing it. You know, my jokes and my leading this church might be a thing of the past or whatever. You might be somebody else here or whatever church you are or where or whatever conference, but that you will still have a testimony. And that this, as for me and my house, will pass a duration. We're about, as we move into the 20s, I believe that Europe and this country, the spiritual atmosphere is very, very different. And I believe, as I shared last week, and not sort of 2 weeks ago, that God is looking for people to stand up and say, yes, I will be the one. I will be part of the 72 who go out. I will be the one who carves a path in the wilderness. I will be the one who says, as for me and my house, this is what we are doing. One of the house groups I was in when I was very, very, very young as a Christian, in the church I was at, was quite an amazing house group. There were some great stuff happened there, and I just kind of went along to it. I think I was involved in sort of the youth work in the church, but I and the chair team, I went along to this house group. It was there, and some great people. Slowly but surely, really sadly, over a passage of time, this different people in this house group fell away from God. They backslid and they were doing different things, and some got into addictions of all kind and different things. And many years later, I visited one of the people I knew in this house group as a friend, who was a friend of mine. I visited and I went in there, and the same people were all sat in there, but the atmosphere was different. They weren't reading the Bible, it wasn't a house group, it was just different. You know, there was smoke in the air and it was different. I thought, how sad that had happened over a period of time. But what happened along the path? What came in the desert? What mountain couldn't they go round? And I just felt really sad. And I contacted an old friend of mine from Derby the other day to ask about one of the guys who was in that, who I used to know. And I was trying to contact him because I used to know him years and years ago. I was a good friend. And it's so sad when that happens. But duration is there. And I tell you, Listen, in terms of duration, how do you stick on the duration of the Christian life? Listen, if you know, then please tell me. So then I can have all your knowledge, you can have all mine, and together we can support each other. I know how you do it. You fall in love with Jesus, you read the Word, you fellowship, you do all that stuff. We know that, but we need each other. And even when I come here on a Sunday, I will probably be really upset because of something that's happened that I've witnessed, or a bill that I've got, or a medical need I've heard of, and I'll come in here and somebody will shake my hand and say blah, 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 and that blah, blah, blah will lift me up. We need each other. So duration is absolutely and totally important. And the last bit I want to, shall we put the last one there? Destiny. God has got a destiny for every single person. I don't want to get to the end of my life and somebody say to me, God wanted you to do this, but you never did it. See, I believe the destiny, anyway, for all of us, is falling in love with God deeper. I want to share a bit tonight from 2 Corinthians 6, for those of you who will be here. I'm talking about the Word and the Spirit. You see, some people say to me, right, how do you know that, no one in this church, how do you know the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today? It's really simple. I know God. I know what He can do. I'm in love with Him. I mean, the Word tells me it is, but my God is operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My God has given me an assurance of my salvation. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But I know God. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:8 misread and everything else, and people think, oh, we can't speak in tongues. You say, yes, we can, because the God I know, He does. He loves that. I know Him. And if you want to find out, spend some time with Him. Your destiny is actually wrapped up in your walk with God. In verse 13 in the Joshua text, I give you a land on which you had not labored, and cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, this is what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has got a tremendous destiny for you. Honestly, in the middle of all the problems at work and your money and this and things that happen at church and this next door neighbor problem, in the midst of all this, God has got something for you which He can bring you into. And it starts off in your relationship with God. Simon Foster, who used to be the regional overseer of the Elim Network, who's now on the leadership team at one of the churches in London, basically, for years ago, when he was leading the church in Glasgow, just thought, I want to seek God. I just want to seek God and seek God and seek God. I just want to put down everything that I think might be calling to, and I'll seek God and I'll seek God. And as a result, the church in Glasgow went for a massive period of growth, but God really exploded in him the gift of the word of knowledge. So he would go up to people in supermarkets and have incredibly accurate stuff to tell people, and they'd say yes, they'd burst into tears, people would get saved and stuff. And a woman walked into his church when he was leading the church in Bristol, and somebody said, a woman walked in the back, a young woman, and God basically said to him, go and tell that woman she needs to change her name. I said, I can't tell her that. Why does she need to change her name? It's not even biblical. I can't do that. He's biblical somewhere, but I mean, he says, go and tell that woman she has got to change her name. Okay, I'll do it, Lord. I'll wait to the service. At the very, very end, he says, hello, I've not seen you before. What's your name? My name's Simon. I'm one of the leaders. By the way, the Lord has told me that you need to change your name. She burst into tears. I'm looking around to see the age range in here. This woman was in prostitution for years, and she had a lady of the night name. She came right towards the end of it. She had read some Christian literature. God told her to go to that church on that Sunday. And she's thinking, I need to change my name back to the name I had before that I was christened with years ago, or dedicated, whatever. And He confirmed it. Never met her before. Isn't it amazing that when you, in spite of the mountain in front of you, in spite of those walls of Jericho, which God may get you over today or next week, in His time, don't worry about it, He's with you. But God is speaking to you, and He values you. He values you as you are. And when He chose you, He had no, you know, He wasn't disappointed. And if you've messed up recently, God knew that years ago anyway. You know, and God is with us, and He has this destiny. And so basically, just again, that every one of us in our lives, and let's go back, you're thinking this is basic teaching, but I think the church in general has moved away from the basic teaching. You know, I think the basic stuff, when it really hits you, a decision.
As for me and my house, this is what we'll do. Declaration. By the way, everybody, love you all. I know you're all a bit different to me. And I know that as for you and your house, you're going to do this. And please help me not to be judgmental. But, by the way, as for me and my house, we are going to do blah, blah, blah. That's what we're doing. It doesn't make me better than you. I'm still learning. But please make room for me in this world and allow me to function as God wants me to function. And I'm here. And as for me and my house, this is what we are doing. This is what the Bible says. And this is what God's church will still be doing in 10,000 years if we're still here. I hope the Lord comes back before then. Devotion. Living a life of devotion to Jesus. Duration. You know, God is a lot more nicer about us than we are about ourselves, you know. He really is. Devotion. A life to devotion. Duration. I hope that I'm sharing this testimony with somebody in 10 years' time. Some of you may not be around physically in 2029 or 2039. Who knows who will, who won't be. But if the Lord doesn't come back before then, and by God's utter grace and mercy on me, he allows me to be alive in 20 years, I pray that I can go up to Joe Bloggs next to me and say, hey, guess what? As for me and my house, I'm still following God. And listen, number five, destiny. God's got something for every single one of you, and I don't know what it is. And please don't presume God. Don't think that God is going to do this because your Uncle Billy did that and this is going to happen and whatever else. And don't presume that God is going to do what he did in the church in this country in the 1990s or the 1970s or moving what we term as revivals, whether some of them were or weren't in different parts of the country. God will do what he wants to do. Let's not put ourselves into the healing box or the charismatic renewal box or the Calvinism box or any of these boxes. Let's say, God, as for me and my house, we want to serve you. Do what you want to do. And I tell you, if you do that, God will lead you into a meadow of spring rains, of hope, of assurance, of a new beginning. Just to finish, just to finish, and we'll do communion. Jackie's grandmother was in her 80s. She lived in Jersey, in the Channel Islands, the bigger Channel Island, and she couldn't move around, but she woke up every morning with such hope, and she would pray for all the people on the estate where she lived, and she would literally pray for the people in the yard where she lived, and ring up people and witness to them. Now, I haven't got anywhere near the goodness of God in me to be able to, or the tenacity to do that. But I hope and pray that if God grants me to live to that age, that I can be like that. You know, it's the goodness of God that obviously works through us. I want to leave that with you. And I want to say today that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is your only hope. It's not an option. We don't have an option to take the Christian faith or not. We do. But an eternity without Jesus in hell is the only option if we don't want to accept Jesus. As for me and my house, I still believe in hell. And as for me and my house, I'll still preach on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.